Hello, this is Pastor Ethan Moore, and today is the first Sunday in this very unique circumstance that we are all living through here in America and the world of the COVID-19 crisis, and we have gone virtual to the Trinity Online Church. And you can go to our church website, which is www.trinityvale.com. Go to the Sermons tab, and there you'll find actually a video of the service that we recorded and posted online. What you're about to hear is this sermon component only of that service. On our website, I have all the scripture references that I walk through, if you would like to take advantage of that, as well as a recap of the primary points that I'm about to walk us through. But in any case, I thank you for listening, and I recorded this on Sunday, March the 15th, 2020, in front of five people at our chapel in Edwards, Colorado. Thank you, John. Thank you, Sarah. Lord Jesus, now as we look into your word, again, may our hearts be open to how you would speak to us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, one of my favorite stories of all of C.S. Lewis's stories is from, of course, the Chronicles of Narnia, is the story, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. If you've seen the movie, hopefully you've read the book. If not, you need to read it. But near the end of the book, throughout the story, the heroes, the people in the story face a series of great challenges as they travel from island to island. And on the last island that they go to, where there's a great challenge, they are on the boat, on the Dawn Treader, Lucy and then all of the crew, and they're surrounded in total darkness. The way that Lewis just evocatively tells a story is really something else, but you get the idea that that there's darkness around, there's clouds, it's misty, they cannot see where they're going. And somewhat he says, this is the island where dreams come true, but it's not dreams, it's nightmares. Horrible things start to happen, and everyone, they start to panic. They're losing hope. They don't know what's going to happen to them. And in the midst of really of no hope being less, of complete and utter helplessness, a ray of light appears. A ray of light appears, and an albatross, a white albatross, starts to circle and glides down low over the ship. And as it passes over Lucy, Lucy alone hears the words, and she knows that it's the voice of Aslan. And the words say, courage, dear heart. Courage, dear heart. Friends, that's a powerful statement. Throughout the history of the church, that is something that the Spirit of God has whispered to all of us in times of trouble. And it is something that God is saying to us today. Courage, dear heart. You know, guys, throughout the years, I've remarked here several times at Trinity that we are not alone in, or I guess that what we are going through now is not unprecedented in the history of Christianity. Right. If you go back to really the history of humanity, but the history of Christianity in particular, you'll see that many times, really for sustained period of times, the church, believers, and society have gone through pandemics, times of disease, times of great distress, right? Times marked by great uncertainty and even suffering. And yet, even though it's not new for the church, guess what we're going through is new for us. Right, this is unprecedented for us, and I know that you're probably the same, we would like to know how things are going to pan out, right? What's going to happen, right? We like to ask the question, what if? Right? What's going to happen? But the reality is we don't know what's going on really fully. We don't know how this is going to play out and what is going to happen. You know, I'm glad that there are people in governmental authorities, different corporations, where people are wrestling with all sorts of different what-if scenarios and trying to come up with plans and contingencies for what may happen in the weeks, maybe the months ahead. Because for us, that question, what if, is almost never a healthy question. Because friends, our hope, our peace, is not a matter of what if. Our hope and our peace is a matter of what is, right? Because of who God is. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. As disciples of Jesus Christ, right? Think of this, as people who have been brought from death to
to life because of our faith in Christ, right? Those of us in whom the very presence of God dwells. How does God's presence, how does His Word, His truth, bring us courage, peace, and hope in this uncertain time? A few thoughts that I want to share, right? But the first one is this, okay? This is important but very brief. Guys, this is not the end of the world, okay? If you are asking the question, is this the beginning of the tribulation, right? Is this the beginning of the end times? I'd have to say, well, I don't know. But I really, 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 really don't think so. Especially not just because of the coronavirus. Here's why I don't think this is the beginning of the end times, right? If this was the beginning of the tribulation, we would not be using words such as, I wonder if, right? We would know, right? We would not be using phrases such as, out of an abundance of caution, right? No, we would know that it's happening, okay? So guys, if you are struggling maybe with that question yourself, give me a call. Let's talk about it. I don't want to spend any more time on it now, but that is not something that I believe is happening. It could. Who knows what God's going to do, right? But the biblical evidence really isn't there. So I encourage you, again, if this is something you're wrestling with, be careful about what you read on the internet, okay? Let's move on, right? Just wanted to put that out there. Okay. Because more importantly, secondly, as I said before, friends, for the church, for the body of Christ, we have been here before, right? Historically, the church has endured many great and prolonged crises. And if you study these times throughout the history of the church, we will see how God has led the church to respond. And what you will see is the church responded with courage, with trust in God, with great endurance, with sacrifice, but most of all, with hope. Instead of retreating and hiding, we see the church responding with courage, with generosity and compassion. In the coming days, I'll be putting out more of these videos, actually during the week, and I'll go into this one story a little more in depth. But you can go back and study the history of the great plagues in Europe. There was a great plague during the reign of Marcus Aurelius, back in the days of the Roman Empire. There's other examples as well. But when the world at that time, right, in the Roman Empire or throughout Europe, in these great plagues, when like double-digit percentages of the population were dying from disease, the church alone were the people that went out into the streets and helped people and showed compassion and were part of the solution at risk to their own lives at times. And because of how the church behaved during these times of pandemics, right, of great plagues, of times of great distress, back in the history of the church in Europe, God used that to actually launch and spread Christianity to a much greater extent throughout the European world in that time. My point is, guys, responding with peace and hope and courage as the church in times of great distress, this is in our DNA as believers, okay? Third point, and this is what I just want to unpack more. Friends, in time, really in all times, but especially in times of uncertainty and fear, my friends, courage, hope, and peace, these aren't just things that we try to grab a hold of. This is who we are. Because courage, hope, and peace is who God is. We see this throughout all of Scripture. I want you to take your Bibles now. Pause the video if you need to. But turn to Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. And this is a Scripture that John read just a moment ago. Okay. Because this is a pattern in Psalms. We went back through the Psalms last fall, and we talked about this a little bit. But in Psalm 59, we definitely see this. We'll see it in many other places. But something along the line of the children of Israel are in great distress, and they're crying out to God. Right? God, right? The enemy's at the gate. Things are happening. We don't know what to do. And just really shocking, honest cries of distress and questions and even complaints against God will be cried out in the Psalms. But always, every single time, the end of the Psalm is a confession of hope and trust in the grace and the presence and the goodness and the strength of God. And Psalm 59, again, 16 and 17. And I encourage you to read all of Psalm 59 and see the context of what's going on there. But then they say, O Lord, I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. Friends, this was true for the nation of Israel, right? Some of these psalms may be written almost 5,000 years ago, and it is true for us today. And friends, when we believe that and we begin to appropriate that in our lives, because God is in our is our strength, we can embrace scripture such as we see in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. So I encourage you to turn there. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Here the Apostle Paul says this, and of course there's a greater context around this that you'd need to look at, but listen to these words. He exhorts us as the church, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, right? Stand firm in your faith, be courageous, and be strong. Do everything in love. Friends, as we go on into 2 Corinthians, we see one of the many passages in the New Testament where God calls us to set our minds, right, to fix our eyes, to draw our hope, not in the temporary things of life, even when these temporary things are good, but on the eternal hope that is ours in Christ. I want you to take your Bible again and now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. This is one of my favorite passages in the Corinthian letters, and I'm actually going to turn to it here in my own Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. This is such an encouraging statement that the Apostle Paul gives us in times of trouble. And this is what he says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Friends, are some of you struggling with losing heart? The scripture is for you, it is for us. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. All right, guys, think about where we are right now. Put that, to try to think what you know about Paul, what you know about the world in which Paul wrote this. What was going on in the lives of people every day, all the time. And he refers to it as their light and momentary troubles. That helps put some context of what we are going through. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's the question. Right now, where are we fixing our eyes? Where are we fixing our eyes? Are we fixing our eyes upon the fear and speculation that we see in social media? Right? Are we fixing our eyes on what we hear, the voices in our own head? Right? The things that we're telling ourselves? Are we fixing our eyes on our stock market? On the stock market? Or guys, are we fixing our eyes on the hope and the peace that is ours in Christ Himself? You guys, think of this, because He is our strength. This is the question that really it comes down to. If we believe, if we are living in the hope that God is our strength, and because we possess the hope of eternity in Christ, right, what's the worst that could happen? Because then how do we respond? Right now, how will the Spirit of Christ within us lead us to think, to feel, to speak, and to act? Just a few thoughts here. First of all, and if you hear anything that I'm saying this morning, guys, hear this. First of all, guys, in Christ, we are not people of fear. We are not people of fear. It doesn't mean that there are things going on that we could be afraid of, or that people around us are very afraid of. But in Christ, we do not have to be ruled by fear. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. This is a very short verse, but an incredibly profound statement. So right here, I want you to be sure, pause the video, find the scripture in your Bible, and read it out loud if you're by yourself or if you're with friends or your family. Read this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is what it says. In the NIV, I read, "For the Spirit God gave us." Right? You can interpret that as well. The Spirit that God is always giving us, that He has given us, and it's always present. "For the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." I want to read this again from the ESV. I actually really like the ESV's translation of this passage better. And it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear." God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Friends, how does that look in our lives today? As we're reading the news, maybe you shouldn't do that, right? As we're talking with people, looking around our communities, listening to our neighbors, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Another wonderful passage that speaks to this. Think back to when we were going through Romans. This is in Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. What an amazing passage. The entire chapter 8 of Romans. But listen just to what Paul says here again. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. And this is what we read. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Guys, that's who we are in the midst of this, right? We are not on our own, right? We are children of God. "And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." All right, listen to that. "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." What's the implication there? It's that before Christ, we were susceptible to fear. We lived in fear because all that we had was ourselves. But now it's different. In Christ, we don't have to be slaves to fear, right? Because we are adopted as His sons, as God's children. "And by Him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. For the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are God's children, we are His heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we also may share in His glory." An amazing passage, an amazing statement. You know, as I was just preparing this last night, I thought, but how do we make this real? How does this come alive in our life? And friends, one way is to pray it, right? By yourself, gather together as a family with those that you are with. Look at these scriptures and pray, "Lord, it says here that I don't have to be a slave to fear. God, I am afraid, and I give this to you. Lord, by your Spirit, make the truth of this passage begin to grow and come to life in my heart, in my life." Right, guys, praying these promises of Scripture in a time such as this is a powerful thing to do. But the second big thing, right? So we're not afraid. We're not held captive by fear. Connected with that, the second big thought is that when all those around us may be responding, when our human nature wants to respond in fear, friends, we persevere. We persevere in hope and even in joy. There's a passage in James chapter 1 that might have already come to some of your minds. An amazing statement. Listen to what James says. Well, how appropriate is this for us today? "Consider it pure joy." So again, I'm sorry. James 1, and I'm reading verses 2 through 4, if you want to go find that. James 1, 2 through 4. And this is what James writes. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Guys, that's striking. Right now, you know, we think about people hoarding things and the runs on ramen noodles in the grocery store and, you know, and all these things that some people are taking very seriously, some people are making fun of it. But what's behind that? It's a fear of lack. It's a fear that we may run out of the essentials that we need, that there may be things that we lack that we need for life. And here we see God saying to us, when you are facing trials, when you are lacking, when there is need in your life, let God do His work. There is work that He is doing. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. And even though the world is going crazy around us, that we may not lack anything. What a statement. Another passage, again, back in Romans. We're looking at a lot of different scripture today. I want us to see this big picture throughout scripture, particularly the New Testament. But in Romans chapter 5, back in Romans again, Romans 5, 1 through 4. Go find that. In Romans 5, verses 1 through 4. This is what Paul says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith, right? We're people of faith, into this grace in which we now stand. Right? What is our foundation? Always, but especially now. It is the grace of God in which we now stand. And so we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope. Now, there's one more big thought before I start to wrap this up. Guys, as disciples who are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, right? We're not going to be people who are afraid. We're going to be people who persevere. And the third big thought is we will be people who always consider how our actions and words impact others. Guys, listen, in the world of social media that we're in, right, in the world of the internet, just the conversations that go around, before all of this started, the level of acrimony, the level of mean-spiritedness that seems to be in our culture, now more than ever, we need to hear these words from Scripture, right? This situation is not about us. It is about how God will work through us in the midst of it. And in Philippians chapter 2, if you take your Bibles and go there, Philippians 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. And this is what we read. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Right? Do nothing out of selfishness. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And then here's the key statement. It's the second Philippians verse 4. Philippians 2, sorry, verse 4. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you looking to the interest of the other. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you, right, as individuals, as families, looking to the interest of others. Church, there are people in our lives that God is going to lead us to look to their interest. If it's just an encouraging word, right, an encouraging email, a letter, whatever it may be, how will this scripture take on flesh and blood through us during this time? Okay. I said that was the last one. Here's the last big thought. Guys, in this time, in everything that we say and do, when we ourselves may be struggling with fear and needing to hand that to God and trust Him with it, but for sure when we are surrounded by people who are dealing with fear, may we be followers of Christ for whom everything that we do is marked by kindness, is marked by kindness. It's a fruit of God's Spirit within us. You know the passage from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, if you want to turn there, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Right? We're doing this because right now there's a law against 50 or more of us gathering in the room together. Right? Or if there's even less than that, we have to be 6 feet apart. By the way, I've got 5 people in the room. They're all at least 6 feet apart. Right? We're obeying that law. But there's no law against kindness. This is how God wants to be at work in our lives. There is someone around you that needs to be shown kindness. It's such a powerful picture in Scripture. In Colossians, just going to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, here we go, 12 and 13. This is what Paul says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Friends, today, in these coming weeks and months, all the time, but especially now, may we clothe ourselves. Think of that analogy, clothing ourselves in everything that we do. Clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, other-centeredness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. All right? If somebody steals some food out of your basket, all right, at the grocery store, don't take them out. Kindness. Okay. Guys, here is my last thought before I lead us into a time of communion. Guys, this is reality. It's what I feel that I need to say. Guys, in these coming days, some of us are going to suffer because of what is going on. We don't know how bad this is going to be, right? We just don't. That's a what if. We don't need to go there. But some of us may suffer. There are people who have died. In this valley, there very well may be people who have died. Hopefully, God, by God's grace, we'll be spared that within our church family, within the body of Christ. But this is happening. More likely, for many of us, we will suffer financial hardship, right? Financial, maybe business loss, great hardship, at least in our perspective of our lives. These things will be coming. And friends, if you're like me, and it's easy for your mind to start running to the worst case scenario, right? To the what if scenario. If you find yourselves going there, I want you just to stop, take a breath, right? Read through these scriptures, pray through these scriptures. But specifically, I want you to read what Paul had to say in the passage. Let me see, actually got my reference right here, in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. So pause the video. I want you to see this in your Bible and go look up 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. Okay, you're back? All right. What's Paul doing here? Paul is describing the situation of his life, right? He and those around him and the missionary work that they were doing, the things that they went through, and in the midst of incredible hardship that really none of us can even relate to, right? Personal loss. This is what Paul had to say. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. Paul says, "Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything." Having nothing and yet possessing everything. So church, take courage, dear heart. Take courage, dear heart. Jesus, I thank you for your word. And Lord, now as we take just a moment to remember what you did on the cross through your death, burial, and resurrection so that we may live. Lord, may we be encouraged. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite John and Sarah if they would come and join me here within the frame. infringe in your own homes, if you haven't already done it, I encourage you to maybe pause the video and gather together something that you can use for communion. And the passage that we're going to be reading is in Luke chapter 22. And I'll give you a second as I look it up as well. Luke 22, verses 14 through 20 is the passage. This is part of Luke's recording, of course, of Jesus gathered together with his disciples on the night that he would be arrested. Verses 14, so see, when I actually have to look this up myself, it takes me a good while. Here we go. And this is what we read. Now when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you that I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Friends, sometimes it's easy for us to take for granted or to forget the greatest source of hope that anyone in all of humanity will ever have. And that is the gift of salvation, the forgiveness and the new life that is ours because of the cross and the resurrection of Christ. And so now, Sarah, if you would take. Friends, in your own homes, if you would take the bread and just prayerfully remember, Jesus did this. He gave himself so that we may be forgiven, that we may be brought into union with him because the barrier has been removed. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, take it and remember me. And then after they had taken the bread, Jesus took the cup. And in a redefinition of the entire meaning of the Passover meal, Jesus said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. The old is gone. The new has come. Union with Christ. New life in Christ. That is the foundation of who we are, of how we live, of all of our hope. And Jesus said, as often as you take this, take it, the cup of the new covenant, and drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, again, we're humbled. Lord, just today here in this room with my friends, recording this video, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would take this and move throughout the lives of all the people who may watch this, Lord, not because of us and what we've said, but because of your word and its truth, and because of you and who you are and what you have done and what you are doing, who you are right now in our lives. Lord, may our spirits be marked in the midst of a time of uncertainty. May we be marked by gratitude and kindness and hope and courage, and dare we even say it, of great joy. Because our hope and our courage and our peace and our love and our joy is not in the what if, it's in the what is, because of who you are. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, just a couple of comments I want to give you before I turn off the video and send you into your day. A few practical things, got them written down. All right, here we go. Guys, be careful of social media during this time. If it's upsetting you or causing you not to live the way that we have talked about here, might be best to stay away from it. I guarantee you, you'll be better for it. Okay? Because if your life is disrupted, if you're stuck at home, limited in movement, let's take advantage of this, right? Just not binge on your favorite Netflix series. Yeah, I might do that a little bit, right? But take advantage of this. Families, parents, and your children, talk about what's happening. Right, open your Bible. Go to some of these classic Old Testament Bible stories, New Testament stories. In the coming days, we'll be posting resources for you to use, to have conversations with your children, with your families. Get some projects done. Right, be productive. If you have an opportunity to serve and to encourage people, do it. Right, write a letter to someone, not email. Write a letter, right? Somebody that needs to hear from you. Who knows, right? Take this opportunity. Hopefully, after this is all done, the rate of flu infection every year will go way down because we're all going to remember the habits that we're learning right now, right? Maybe this is a time to simplify, right? To learn not to waste, right? To really decrease the amount of things that we need to use. And guys, read Scripture. Read the Word. Go back and listen to my sermon series that I did just before this when we talked about Scripture and how we look into it and how we really make it part of our life on our own. You might even want to take a journal during this time of how God is working in your life, because who knows? There may be a time before too long that you have a story that God will use you to tell. Guys, we love you so much. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon.